In preparation for Jeff's lesson this morning, I'll be reading from Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 7th verse. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you.
Transition because I do have to make a correction that I inadvertently spoke last time I was up here. I accidentally said that Moses built the ark. Now we all know that Moses didn't build the ark. Jonah did. Wait a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Right, kids? Who built the ark, kids? Noah. All right, very good. All right, so, but that's good, and it was brought to me by a brother, and that's what we're all supposed to do. We're supposed to listen and see what is taught is, in fact, correct. Now, as Larry said, that was a misspoken word, but more importantly, if someone stands in this pulpit and is preaching or bringing to you what is not the word, so that's your job, to make sure I speak correctly. All right. So very good. So this morning, we're going to talk about shoot, move, communicate. In the Army, as well as in other branches of the military, they have what they call military occupational specialties, or MOSs. Now, this is a fancy term for your job. Everybody has a job in the military and in whatever branch. Okay. When I started my career in the military, too many years to count, I was a radio teletype operator. It was 05 Charlie. Now, and then it transitioned to 31 Charlie, and now that equipment is probably in the Smithsonian Institution because we're well beyond radio teletype. Okay? But the good thing is, the Army taught me how to type. So, excellent. Now, there's other jobs in the military. There's cook, wheel vehicle mechanic, military police, and etc. Okay? And what I spent most of my time in the military was infantry or 11 Bravo. Now, the Army says that no matter what your specialty is, that you should, as a basic, be able to shoot, move, and communicate. So, whatever you're doing at the time, maybe when you're overran, you should be able to shoot, move, and communicate. So you put down your spatula, you put down your wrench, you put down your badge of your military police, and you guard your post. You stand your post. Now, what has that anything to do with this? Well, we're going to talk about ask, seek, and knock. The longest sermon in the Bible was delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ, starting in Matthew 5:3 and going all the way to Matthew 7:27. A total of 107 verses. In this sermon is an absolute wealth of knowledge that anyone preaching could spend an entire lifetime selecting subjects from there and never exhaust them. In there was a very simple verse. And by the way, you're welcome for only one verse for the scripture. And that was, of course, Matthew 7:7, which again is ask and will be given. You seek and you will find, knock, it'll be open to you. Now, ask, seek, and knock. So I'm going to attempt to make a comparison between ask, seek, and knock, and shoot, move, and communicate.
The closest would be ask, would equate to communicate. Seek, to move. And to knock is to shoot. Now, I was a grown man before I ever realized, or probably it was brought to me, that the first letter of each of those actually spell out ask. I thought that was pretty interesting. It doesn't take much to really to be impressive for me, but ask, seek, and knock was pretty incredible. And I always wondered, did he make it like that? I don't know. But with me, you have to keep it simple. And that's a good acronym to help you remember. Just remember the first word, ask, and it gives you the other three. And don't think that I didn't use that from time to time. Like, what were the other two? Let's see, it's an S. So it really is interesting. Now, let's break down that verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Okay? Now, some questions came to my mind when I thought about that first, for the first portion of that verse. Who are we to ask? For what are we to ask? When are we to ask? How often are we to ask? What will be given when we ask? When will it be given? So let's take one of those, or each one of those, one at a time. First, who are we to ask? Now, in the military, you communicate with higher headquarters, or quite simply, higher. Well, who is our higher? Of course, our Heavenly Father. So that's who are we to ask. In Matthew 6:6, it says, pray to your Father who is in heaven, who is in secret, rather. Matthew 6:9-15 is, of course, what is deemed the Lord's Prayer. The very beginning of that says, our Father who is in heaven. Now, for what are we to ask? And I make sure I had that English correct. I didn't end with a preposition. A soldier contacts higher to request such things as indirect fire, request resupply, to give a SITREP, which is situation report, and request what is needed. Now you notice that he or she, the soldier, asks what is needed and not what is wanted. If the soldier out in the field would request ice cream cones, probably wouldn't get it. Okay. They do that on MASH, but it really doesn't happen. What we think we need may just be a want. In Isaiah, in the 55th chapter, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the Lord knows what we want, or correction, what we need. What we think is a need may not be a need, maybe just a want. And in James chapter 4 and verse 15, it talks about saying, if the Lord wills. A lot of brothers use this when they pray. And this is correct. This is what we should do. When we ask for God for something, it should be, is it, if it's your will. Jesus did the same thing when he was praying in the garden before he was to be taken to be crucified. He said, please take this cup from me, but your will, not my will, be done. So we need to make sure that whenever we ask for something, we need to keep it in perspective as long as it's the Lord's will. Because I heard a story once, and I may have used this as an analogy before, but there was a bird cage on this table. And this bird was flying around there wanting to get out. Okay? And in the bird's mind, it was a need for freedom to get out. Well, what the bird didn't see was at the lower end of on the floor beyond where they could see was a cat ready to pounce and eat that bird. So the master of that bird didn't let it out because it was going to get eaten. So is the Lord for us. What we think we might need, we need to make sure that we keep in perspective that the Lord knows what's good for us, and he will give it to us if it is his will. Now, when are we to ask? Anytime we need help. Anytime we are under fire by Satan's forces. Anytime we need resupply of strength, faith, hope. Anytime one of our fellow soldiers are sick, injured, or dying. Anytime we need reinforcements from God's army. You like how I'm tying that in? So a soldier will need things on the field of battle. We are in a battle every single day of our lives. We are in the battle for our spiritual freedom from this earth to go to heaven. How often are we to ask? In the original Greek in my Bible, it indicates that this is a continual action. So we are continually to ask, continually to seek, and continually to knock. When will what we ask for be given? A soldier's hire will provide what is needed at the most opportune time and when it can be done. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day." So, as a human race, we are very impatient. I know I am. And we want satisfaction or what we think we need now. Give me patience and give it to me now. The Lord knows what we need, and he knows when we should receive that. So when you ask for something, be patient. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. Again, God's ways are higher than our ways. What we think we might need, God knows more than us. So moving on to seek and find. A soldier will seek or move to cover, concealment, safety, the enemy, etc. Seeking requires movement, physically moving from one place to another, moving from one state of mind to another, moving from being uneducated to being educated, reading your Bible and learning something. You move from a state of lack of knowledge to a state of knowledge. What are we to seek? His kingdom, perhaps. In Matthew 6, verse 33. Get to that. "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There's one thing that we could seek. What about the truth? In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you will truly be disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How about peace? We should seek peace. In Psalms 34 and 14, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." We should seek refuge. Psalms 91 and 4. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find protection. His faithfulness shall be your shield and wall." Let's not forget seeking him or God. In Psalms 119 and 2, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart." You should always seek knowledge. In Proverbs 15 and 4, "The mind of the intelligent seek knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly." And how about this one? I thought this was interesting. "Our neighbor's good." 1 Corinthians 10 and 24. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. These are just a few of the things that we could seek. Let's move on to knock, and it will be open to you. What is it? Knock, and it will be open to you. What do you usually knock on? You knock on a door. Now, a door symbolizes opportunity. We should take advantage of opportunities. A soldier should take advantage of shooting or engaging the enemy. That's their job. But who is our enemy? Satan and his forces. We are in a battle every day of our lives. And Satan and his forces are the enemy. What is our door of opportunity for which we are trying to open? I submit to you, it's people's hearts. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We are to seek and knock on the door of opportunity of people's hearts. Acts 28, 26 through 39 is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch we talked about in class this morning. And there, Philip was afforded an opportunity to teach an individual that was seeking the truth, the Ethiopian eunuch. And he rode along with him. He was specifically brought to that situation by the Spirit. And he taught the Ethiopian eunuch. And he baptized him at the end of that account. So, instead of shoot, move, and communicate, we ask, seek, and knock. What are you asking for to have God help you along your way of the walk of life? To be the type of child of God that He is expecting you to be, that He wants you to be. The Bible tells us that He wants all to come to repentance and be saved. So what are you seeking in His kingdom? Are you seeking His kingdom? Are you seeking the truth, the peace, the refuge, some of the other things we talked about? What are you seeking? Are you knocking on the door of opportunity to bring others to Christ? We have opportunities that pop up every day of our lives. Do we take advantage of them, or do we turn away? I know that I've been coming here sometimes or other, and I see somebody broken down alongside the road. Did I take opportunity? I've done it once, but I had other opportunities. I passed them by. Was that an opportunity to plant a seed? We should always take advantage of opportunities in every day of our lives. Okay? So, are you a child of God? Are you in a state of saved with the Lord? Do you know that Jesus paid the price for our sins? He died on the cross. He was the sinless sacrifice for us. Have you taken advantage of that? Are you sitting here in an unsaved state? It's so easy to become a child of God. Right there in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, it talks about the great confession. Do you believe that Jesus is God's son? If you believe, then you can be saved, be baptized, and he was. That's all it takes. Only a step is one of the songs in our songbook. It takes only a step. That hardest one is stepping out of that, into that aisle way. Once you get it, then the kind of inertia just brings you in there. But what if you are a Christian, but you've strayed away? You are not walking in the light. And as long as we're walking in the light, 1 John tells us that we are cleansed of all sins, because God can't be in the presence of sin. He can't. That's why hell was created, is so there's a place for sin to be, because he can't be in the presence of sin. And as long as we're under the light, under the shower of Jesus' blood, then we are in a state where God can be in our presence. So if you've strayed away, if you've not walked according to the word, come back. Don't let yourself walk out that door in a state that is not saved. Please, I ask you, as together we stand and sing.